Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 is our text, and we want to continue with kingdom followership. Kingdom followership, that is our subject for today, and our text is from Matthew 28 verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen." This is what we call the Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave to his apostles and by extension to all believers. Now, the Great Commission is traditionally understood as going to get people born again and bound for heaven. But really, that is not the Great Commission. If you get people born again and bound for heaven, you have not fulfilled what we call the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission is about making disciples, alright, of all the nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That is what the Great Commission is. It has nothing, or it doesn't speak about getting people born again. You see, so we have to understand that if we get people born again, we haven't really fulfilled the Great Commission. It is when we disciple born again people and we baptize them, we teach them to keep or obey all things that Jesus Christ commanded, that is when we can say that we have fulfilled the Great Commission. It's important for us to understand this so that we don't stop short at getting people born again and claim that we have fulfilled the Great Commission. What Jesus Christ wants is for us to disciple nations. Disciple nations. Alright? Now, if you look at this scripture, you will see that Jesus' emphasis is on making people students, learners. Alright? And then teaching them, of course, teaching them so that they observe what Jesus Christ commanded. Now, if you read Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, Jesus gave certain commands, and they were a little contradictory to what was the prevailing thing that people who loved God were doing. All right? But Jesus Christ lifted up what we call the requirements of the law. He lifted it to a higher extent so that whereas the law said you shall not commit adultery, Jesus Christ said that if you lust after a woman, if you look on a woman to lust after her in your heart, you have already committed adultery, and vice versa, of course. You know? So Jesus Christ lifts it up. Alright? He says that you have heard it that you should not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You see? So Jesus Christ says something higher than what the requirement of the law is. Those are the things that Jesus commanded. When the law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, Jesus said, but I say unto you, you know, love your enemy, hate your love your friends, hate your enemy. Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. These are the things that Jesus Christ commanded. These are the things he wants us to teach to nations. Please, I want you to know something, that Jesus is not just talking about individuals in a nation. He's talking about discipling nations. That's a big deal. Hallelujah. Wow. Because the kingdom that he brought is supposed to fit into the human nations. You know, kingdom for kingdom. That is how it ought to be. So, beyond discipling individuals in a nation, Jesus wants that we disciple whole nations. That's powerful. Now, I want to show you something that will make us to know how we are equipped to do that. First of all, you need to understand the mandate. You need to understand the scope of the work. The scope of what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission, as we can understand now, is making people kingdom followers. Making people kingdom followers. Alright? Because a disciple is a follower of a master. He takes in the words and the ways of the master. And God expects that we put up the kingdom words of Jesus, which seem to contradict in some cases some of the things that the devout people of his day were used to. He wants us to lift those things up and teach those things and get people to follow in a kingdom way, not in the religious way that mankind was used to before Jesus Christ came upon the scene and for six times said, "You have heard it was said, but I say unto you." Hallelujah. So this is what Jesus Christ wants us to do, to make people kingdom followers or followers of his kingdom word. All right. So I want you to note something about a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined one, and he has got a destination. A disciple is a disciplined person, and he has got a destination. The destination is to be like his master. And the being like his master is not talking like his master. In other words, the tonation is like his master. His accent is like his master. His looks is like his master. But beyond that, or better still, the disciple being like his master is being in essence like his master. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Being in essence, in spirit, like his master. And that is what Jesus Christ expects us to be. So we should not stop short of maybe speaking the words of Jesus in itself, but we must have his essence, his character. We must be like him in our inside. Hallelujah. That is what is called being fruitful. The first person who used the word fruitful, you know, or bearing fruit, was Jesus. And he used that in Matthew chapter 7. I should say the first in the New Testament, of course, in this era that we are living in. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 20, he said that, verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven or experience kingdom life, but he who does on earth the will of my Father in heaven. Does is a verb. It means that you must do it now. You're on this earth calling Lord, Lord, but you must do on this earth the will of the Father in heaven. So you look at heaven's will, and then you do it on this earth. You bring the kingdom of heaven down. Those are the people Jesus says are going to experience the kingdom of heaven or kingdom life. You see, because you look at what is in heaven, you live it on this earth, And so you enter the kingdom of heaven. You experience kingdom life now, and also, and therefore, in the future. So Jesus, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, you will see that verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So you see that these people are doing something. They are doing something. All right? They are casting out devils in the name of Jesus. They are healing the sick. Is that it? Doing wonders in the name of Jesus, prophesying in the name of Jesus. So these people are doing something. What they are doing is called the works of Jesus. They are doing his works, but they do not have his fruit. Hallelujah. So over here, you see that Jesus Christ distinguished fruit from works. All right? Sometimes we put it all together and we think that, well, if you are casting out devils, then you are doing, then you are bearing fruit, the fruit that Jesus Christ bore. And if you are prophesying, you are doing signs and wonders, these are the fruit. According to Jesus, these are works, and they are different from fruit. He says that if you do not have the fruit, but you are doing the works, saying good works. Is that it? Look at verse number what? 21. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. Verse 21. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord. So 21 is about saying the right thing, saying the right words. You know, a disciple can say the right words, but not please Jesus. That's why I say that a disciple's destination is to be, in essence, like his master. And he does it through the ways and the words of the master, but you don't stop short at the words and the ways of the master. You don't stop short just repeating the words. You can call Jesus Lord, 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 Lord. Say the nice words. Lord is a kingdom word. Hallelujah. It means the controller. It means the owner, the one who is in charge. He is the king. You can say king, king, Lord, Lord, you are the great one. You can use all the kingdom words of Jesus, but not bear his fruit. That's verse 21. Verse 22 is not talking about words, good words, kingdom words. He's talking about works. Works. W-O-R-K. Verse 21 is talking about words. W-O-R-D. Say the right kingdom words, like you are Lord, and all that. Now, verse 22, he says that you are doing the right works. W-O-R-K. But although you say the right words as a disciple, and you do the right things as a disciple, even in the name of Jesus, once you are not bearing what he calls the fruit, he says that depart from me, I never knew you. Because although you have the words and the ways of your master, you don't have his essence. The essence is the fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, the essence of a plant is the fruit. In other words, if you take a fruit like an orange fruit or an apple fruit, that fruit contains the tree. In fact, that fruit is the tree. If you get a fruit, you've got a tree. But if you have got the leaf, you have not got the tree. If you have got the branch, you have not got the tree. It is only when you have a fruit. The fruit is the essence of the tree. That is why he says that if you want to know the tree, just get the fruit. He says that by the fruit you shall know the kind of tree it is. Hallelujah. So the essence of a tree is the fruit, not even the root. It is the fruit. It is the fruit that contains the same tree, that can replicate the same tree many, many times. Hallelujah.
That is why Jesus Christ is using this word advisedly. And we have to learn to use the words of the Bible. Hallelujah. For us to interpret the Bible very well, you must look at the first time a word is used. They call it the law of first mention. And when it was first mentioned, what it was meant to be understood. And then you replicate it. Hallelujah. You don't use English language to say it means that being productive. So it means that if you are working signs and wonders, then you are productive. Of course you are productive, but that's English language. According to the way Jesus Christ used the word fruit, he is talking about the essence of a tree, or the essence of a person. And he's saying that it is different from the words of the person, and it is different from the works, W-O-R-K, or the actions, so to speak, of the person. The fruit is simply what we call the fruit of the human spirit.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
We should bear the same fruit. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ, His essence is. It begins. The first one is love. The essence of Jesus is love. So you can have all the kingdom words, do all the kind of things that you want to do, but if there is no love in you, the kind of love I'm talking about. The love, as Jesus said, love your enemies. You see that kind of love? Yeah. If you don't have it, then it's a deception. You are deceiving yourself into thinking that, well, I'm a disciple because, look, I have all the kingdom words. I understand all the parables of the kingdom, and he's my Lord, and he's a king, and he's a ruler, and you can use all the words, but please, let us look into our lives, and let us make sure that it's not just words that we are saying, it is not just works that we are doing in his name, but we have his essence, the fruit. Hallelujah. Do you know, Jesus uses the same kind of illustration in the upper room. In the upper room, in John chapter 13 to chapter 17 or so, Jesus is in the upper room. And he is giving some exclusive understanding to only his 11 apostles, really. Practically, Judas, in the course of being in the upper room, left. After he washed their feet and all that, you remember. Is it before or after? But Judas left, and Jesus Christ knew that he was going to call the people to come and arrest him. Wow. So it was only after Judas left. Listen very carefully. It was only after Judas left, in John chapter 14, the ending, that Jesus Christ, in John chapter 15, gave what we call the vine, the parable of the vine. Let's go to the book of John. The parable of he being the vine and we being the branches. All right. So Judas has left Jesus to go and betray Jesus. And Jesus recalls this in chapter 14 and then verse 30. He says, I will no longer talk much with you
For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. He was referring to Judas, who had left to go and organize, you know, his betrayal, and then the devil taking charge over him, so to speak. But he has nothing in me. All right. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And so in this chapter 15, verse 1, he gives them the parable of the true vine, or the true vine. All right. At this time, they were not 12 apostles, they were 11 apostles. Judas had left. And so Jesus Christ tells them about bearing fruit again. Look at it. I am the true vine. It means they are false vines. And my Father is a vine dresser. That's beautiful. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Please underline every branch in me. In other words, you can be a branch in Jesus who does not bear fruit. All right, let's read on. He takes away, and every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Wow! Every branch that bears fruit. What fruit is he talking about? He's talking about the understanding we must have about fruit from what he has said in Matthew chapter 7. Is that right? He says that there are some branches who are in me, but they don't bear fruit. They don't have my essence. But they are in me. They can do everything in my name, but they don't have my essence. And do you know whom he was speaking about directly here? Who do you think he was speaking about? Judas! Judas! Because Judas used all the words, all the nice words. Judas did all the signs and the wonders and everything. But he didn't have the essence of Jesus. So he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes, that he will bring forth to more fruit. Hallelujah. So Jesus is telling us to have his essence and not be like people who are in him, but who do not bear the fruit that his essence, his core. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Because out of the fruit, everything comes out. Everything must come out from the fruit. Hallelujah. But you can have works and words that are not coming out from the fruit. That is what he was saying in Matthew. Say, how come? In Matthew chapter 7. Say, look at you. According to the tree, so will your fruit be. So Jesus is teaching us something very important about following him. That following him, or discipleship, the destination is having the essence of your master, of Jesus. Hallelujah. So saying the nice things. There are many people who say the nice things, say the nice words, and get everybody born again and things like that, but whose fruit is not there? Wow! Is it possible? It's so possible. Paul says, look, I put myself on the discipline. I discipline myself. I want to be a follower of him. I don't want that after I've done what I have to do, I myself become a cast away. I do not want to be a cast away. Cast away from what? Cast away from experiencing kingdom life. Hallelujah. Wonderful. It's powerful. So, people who are masters should not be deceived by people who appear like them, talk like them. What they have to look at, is he like me? Does he have my patience?
Because a good master must have the patience that Jesus had. Because we all follow human beings only when they are following Jesus. When they look like Jesus, we follow them. When they do not look like Jesus, but they act like Jesus, I'm talking about his works, W-O-R-K. And then they speak his words, but they are slappers of people. Have you seen people like that? Great people, great works, but they will slap you and even sometimes abuse you on top and abuse even your parents on top. Jesus never slapped. He should have slapped some people. Never slapped anybody. He should have abused some people. Never abused anybody. Is that it? Not so. Have his love. Have his joy. Have his peace. Have his discipline, self-control. Have his gentleness. Have his kindness. Have his humility, meekness. Those are the things that a disciple must aim at. A follower of Jesus must aim at that. Hallelujah. Now, there are some people who may not look like their master, who may not talk like their master. When I say talk, I'm talking about the accent and all those kind of things, but in essence they are like their master. Those are the real guys. It's not those who are the flatterers who appear like they are with you, but in essence they are not like you. Others, they may not be like you. Maybe they don't agree with you along certain lines, but the essence is you. If you have anybody that you have to trust, don't trust all those who look like you. Hallelujah! I'm advising you nicely. Trust those whose spirit is like you. But sometimes you can be deceived. Do you know there was a man called Saul? Saul was a very proud man, but he appeared so humble. In fact, the Bible tells us that even when he was told that he was going to be the king by Samuel, he didn't boast about it. He didn't tell anybody. It was an unspoken desire in him that someone has secretly poured oil on his head, that you are the first king of Israel. His uncle asked him, what did the prophet tell you? He said, oh, I want to see the prophet. What did he say? And he didn't tell the uncle that the prophet poured oil on my head. He says that, look, there is a hand of God upon me. I'm going to be the king. He didn't say that. How will you describe such a person? Humble. Yeah, Joah says yes. And you know, on top of it, at the time that all Israel had gathered, someone had gathered all Israel and they were going to elect the king. When he was elected, they were looking for him. They couldn't find him. Do you know where he was? He was hiding. Everybody want to be dressed in state and then he will sit in the seat like that. Yes, I'm your king. I'm your king. But not Saul. Not Saul. Saul was hiding. He was so humble. Samuel, when he rejected, God rejected him. Samuel told him that, look, you, when you were little in your own eyes, I made you king over Israel. In other words, Mr. J, if you meet Saul, King Saul, although he was the most handsome person in Israel, tall from the shoulder upwards, he was so humble that you would think that, well, this is the person you must go with. But his essence was pride. Mrs. Famier, pride. The opposite was David. If you met David, you won't like him. Because you know how he was introduced. He went round, small boy, among the armies of Israel, and saying, what did the king say? What is going to be given to the one who takes down this giant who has been disturbing us for 40 days? He was referring to Goliath. And then the army people will say, oh, you'll be tax-free, you'll be in the royal family, the daughter of the king will be given to the person and all that. David will not rest. He will go to another person. In fact, he did it in the camp until his brother said, hey, come here. I know your pride. But he wasn't proud at all. At all. You would think that looking at judging from human judgment, that Saul is the right guy and David is the wrong guy. But in essence, Saul was the wrong guy, David was the right guy. Because although he appeared like proud, say, wow, nobody should fear me, I'm going to take him down and show to all Israel. He was a small boy. He wasn't qualified to be in the army. I'll show to all Israel that there is a God in Israel.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.